The following message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. We would like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road, in Smyrna, Tennessee. Please visit our website at defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.
Sing them over to me again, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Now that's some of the words to a beautiful old gospel song that we sing often. And it's got such a beautiful message, the wonderful words of life. Now obviously the reference is to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the wonderful words of life. Now there's some good words out there. But there's no word that can compare to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16 that the gospel of Christ is God's power to save man. The wonderful words of life. But I want to suggest to you that there would be no wonderful words of life if there was not a wonderful word of life. Now that's what I want us to talk about this morning for a few moments. The word of life. John wrote in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 1 beginning, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." John tells us here about the Word of life. Now we have common phrases that we use today about the word, Word. "Have you received any Word yet?" we'll sometimes say. Or, "I've just received Word that," etc. And these usually pertain to important matters, essential matters. But there is no matter more important, and there is no matter more essential to mankind than the Word of life. Now John shows us at least three essential things about the Word of life in these few verses. 1 John 1, 1-4. Number one, John shows us the Word bestowed. The Word bestowed. He says here, "The life was manifested," verse 2. Now that word "manifested" means to reveal or to make known. It was John himself who wrote that famous verse in John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Over in John's gospel in the first chapter, in verses 1 and 2, John tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life." See that? "And the life was the light of men." And so he refers to here as the Word, and that the Word was with God, and that the Word actually is God. Now don't let anybody try to tell you and to deceive you into thinking that Jesus Christ is some created being. Jesus Christ was not created. Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning, even before the creation. Matter of fact, all things were made through Him. Now if that's so, then it's impossible for Him to have been created, because He could not have been made through Himself. All things were made through Him. Jesus is eternal, just as God the Father is eternal. Don't let anybody ever try to tell you differently. And He says in this Word was life. Now the Jews had great respect for the concept of the Word of God. They revered the Word. In fact, some say that they perhaps had too much respect for the written Word, and that they came to worship the actual stones and the actual writing and paper that the Word was on. Maybe? I don't know. But in Deuteronomy 26, 17 and 18, today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in His ways and keep His statutes, His commandments and His judgments, and that you will obey His voice. Also today the Lord has proclaimed to you to be His special people, just as He promised you that you should keep all His commandments, and that He will set you high above all nations, which He has made in the praise, in name and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as He has spoken. The spoken Word. The Jews revered that. The Jews viewed the Word as eternal. We're told that the pagan Greeks even had some sort of connection with the concept of this idea of a Word and deity. And so perhaps we can properly come to the conclusion that John was here using a concept that would appeal both to Jews and to Greeks, that would appeal to everybody when he referred to Jesus as the Word. And that concept being that Christ is eternal. He was manifested in the flesh, verse 14. But He wasn't created. He didn't begin to live before He came to the earth as a human being. He always was. Jesus Christ is eternal. And by Him and through Him, all things that were made have been made. That's what John tells us here. Paul would add to that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And this very Creator was bestowed upon man grace, the free gift of God, so that we can have the opportunity to have our sins forgiven. Further, it was through Christ, the Word, that God the Father related His commandments and His will to mankind today. In Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer tells us that God at various times, in various ways, spoke in time past to the Father by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. And so John tells us about the Word bestowed. Number two, not only the Word bestowed, but the Word beheld. The Word beheld. John says, we have seen it with our eyes. We've looked upon it. Our hands have handled it concerning the Word of life. That which we have seen, verse 3, we have declared to you. John tells us in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. And he said the life was manifested and we have seen. And we'll never know the exact number of people who saw the Lord while He was in the flesh upon the earth, but John speaks of a special witness. Those holding a part of the office of the 12, those closest of disciples of the Lord. They were with the Lord before He died. But they were especially chosen from those who saw Him after He arose. They touched Him. They handled Him. They saw Him alive, resurrected. 1 John 1 and verse 1. It was their witness, as a matter of fact, and their declaration of what they had seen that ultimately brought you and me to the Lord. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful, glorious thought. Matter of fact, in verse 4, he goes on to say, and these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. I love what the Lord said in John 20, verse 29, when He was talking to Thomas, after Thomas at first doubted, insisting that he must feel the holes in Jesus' hand and push his hand into the scar in Jesus' side where the soldier had thrust his sword. Thomas said, I'll not believe that he is resurrected until I can see the evidence. Well, Jesus showed him the evidence. Matter of fact, he presented that evidence to all of his apostles, and they all believed. And Thomas himself, when he saw that evidence, said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now this brings me to my third and last point. Concerning the Word of Life, John shows us, number one, the Word bestowed. Number two, the Word beheld. And number three, the Word believed. The Word believed. Now faith is necessary to fellowship with God and with other believers. Here in our text, 1 John 1 verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we must first believe that Jesus is the Son of God before we can enjoy this fellowship. Before we can take part of the Word of Life, we must believe in the Word of Life. Now Jesus had many in His day, even while He walked on the earth. There were so many who disbelieved. There were so many who would not accept Him as the coming Messiah. They rejected Him. Matter of fact, He said in John chapter 8, verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And so we must believe. But you know, it must be an obedient faith. Belief only won't do. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, talking about Jesus, the Word of Life, it says, He became obedient to the Father by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who what? Are you reading it in Hebrews 5, 9? He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Underscore that word obey. Now, notice I didn't say mark through it or cut it out of your Bible. Underscore it. Highlight it. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Remember Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached to those men who had killed Jesus? And when he finished, they were cut to the heart. Now they believed. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter didn't say to them, well, you don't have to do anything else. You believe now, that's all that's needed. No, no. Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22:16, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It's been said that John's greatest desire was for saints to love one another. Perhaps, but could it not have been rather that men come to believe? That was his greatest desire, that men come to believe? After all, that's why he wrote his gospel account in John 20, verse 31. He says that he has written these things that we may believe in Jesus as the Son of God. And so the Word of Life, what a beautiful, wonderful message. John shows us the Word bestowed. God gave His Son for us. John shows us the Word beheld. There are witnesses. John shows us the Word believed. We must believe and obey the Lord Jesus Christ if we want that fellowship with God. Have you received Word yet? Is it your greatest desire that others come to believe?
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8, 24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.